Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on August 3rd, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show, and of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning, Joe. How are you?
Great, good. Having a wonderful time drinking my black water.
Black water?
Black water, yeah. It's a new thing I'm into. Mineral-infused water. And 77 minerals, and it's so dark, it's almost black.
Really? Does it taste like regular water?
It tastes like clean, fresh water, mineral water, and no carbonation, but it's black in color. Yeah.
Black water matters.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny. I read something recently about a new product. I think it's called Kona.
Uh-huh.
Water and something about they take it from they go deep into the ocean floor bed.
Yeah.
And they pull water up through there, and it's same concept, all the natural minerals, and
yeah,
it's supposed to be better for you than other water, and but I haven't tried this yet, so
as you know, I'm very much involved in urban farming these days, and one of the things about farming, whether you're farming in your backyard, your front yard, or out in the, Salinas Valley, is getting minerals into the soil for the plants to take up, because they can't create minerals. They're either there or they're not. And it's a huge issue with farming, local and urban and everywhere. And, of course, in our bodies, we need more minerals. Minerals are really, really important.
Yes, I guess they are. But listen, a very important thing going on tonight.
What?
That I wanted to mention. Tonight, CenterCal is having an open house to show the model of the waterfront project.
Oh, really?
Yes, at their offices in El Segundo from 5 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I think the model is like 17 feet long and like 6 feet wide. It's
wow.
A huge model. And it's currently in their offices, and I guess at a later date they're going to move it to Redondo at some point. But for right now, it's in their offices. So the public is invited to go and see this model tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. at the CenterCal offices in El Segundo. I don't have the address off the top of my head, but it's on my website.
Right.
It's on my website. It's listed. So everybody, I think we should all go.
Right.
I'm going.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm gonna try and get JB to meet me there. So.
I think that would be an excellent idea.
You know, most people can't visualize things, from illustrations. So a 3D
right.
model is, I think it's really, important to see it. So
right,
I'm excited.
Right. CenterCal is just CenterCal.com. CenterCal.com.
Yeah, it's one word, yes.
And the address is 1600 East Franklin Avenue in El Segundo.
Yes, okay. All right, we'll see everybody there tonight.
All right.
Okay.
You know, I'm very excited, Jackie, in a strange way. I have to say, I was going to make jokes about, well, we're going to talk about a very exciting, scintillating subject today, home inspections. But, you know, there's a lot to this, and I've got questions.
Oh, yes, there is. Yes.
And anyone thinking about selling their home, anyone thinking about buying a home, should have a reputable home inspection company to be a partner with. Because if you're going to buy a home, you want your own guy in there to tell you whether there is or isn't fungus, whether there is or isn't structural integrity, and you really want someone that you trust, and we have someone. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Craig Funabashi, President and Principal Inspector at Property Professor, Inc., based in Redondo Beach. Over the last 20 years, Craig has performed over 5,000 residential and commercial inspections. As a master inspector, he has obtained the highest designation available from the prestigious California Real Estate Inspection Association. He is also a certified member of the American Association of Home Inspectors. As an active leader in his profession, Craig currently serves as the editor-in-chief of the statewide magazine Inspector Journal. Locally, he was recently chapter president of the Los Angeles West South Bay chapter for a second time from 2010 to 2012. He was previously elected to the CREIA State Board of Directors, serving multiple terms as regional director and state director at large, culminating as vice chairman from 2009 to 2010. In May 2013, he was awarded the CREIA's Top Honors Jerry McCarthy Inspector Fellow Award for his many years of volunteer work for the association. He served prominently on the CREIA State Examination Committee that developed the entrance examination for candidate inspectors and master's testing for advancement in the profession. He has also served on the National Home Inspectors Examination Task Force. Craig is an educational speaker and published author on home inspection issues. He chaired the committee that created the presentation, What Everyone Needs to Know About Home Inspections, and a three-module, three-hour presentation on the standards of practice. Both were developed to educate consumers and real estate brokers and agents. He currently serves as a commissioner for the city of Redondo Beach on the Public Works Commission. Craig is married with two children. He's an avid sailor and the Commodore at Port Royal Yacht Club. Now, this morning, we're going to have a master class on inspections, Joe, and learn everything we need to know about, you know, this process before buying or selling a home. Welcome to the program, Craig. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here because it is so critical to have either a pre-purchase inspection if you're a buyer or a listing inspection report, you know, that you can trust if you're a seller. It's really, and of course, even if you're not buying or selling, you might want to have a checkup on your home. So,
sure.
I guess what I want to start off with, Craig, is the certification, because that's kind of fascinating. Tell us a little bit more about the CREIA.
Well, first and foremost, that is the acronym for the California Real Estate Inspection Association. And I will tell you, those of us within the industry often refer to it as CREIA, as it kind of rolls off our tongues. But it's funny, it's been pronounced CREIA or different things amongst, you know, just the general public. But in California, compared to many other states, there is no licensing requirement for to be a home inspector. So in essence, one could actually print up business cards and go in business tomorrow or later today. and it's not without the California state legislator going through the motions a number of times in the last 20 years, proposing different modes of legislation. It's just been very interesting in California that it's been deemed that Our legal system does give some recourse to individuals, the consumers, if they get a bad inspection. And with that, though, there's been a recognition in the Business and Professions Code of standards of practice that CREA created originally that are now codified in state law. And also they recognize the ASHI, or American Society of Home Inspectors, standard of practice as well. But the big thing for us is continuing education and utilizing CREA.com, if you will, as a as a way of qualifying, at least because of our strict or stringent membership requirements, that it's the best place to start to get at least an inspector who's qualified. And
right.
And it's also important to be aware that there are other organizations out there that are not as strict and stringent in their membership requirements, that are also using the terms like certified or master. So you have to be mindful of what organization, but also going to your friends and the family is a great way to get referrals too.
Right,
so
right.
That's kind of the qualification part. So it's important to ask, pointed questions of your, an inspector you're considering using.
Well, I think I'm sticking with CREA. 40 years, 40 years,
yeah,
of real estate inspections that satisfy both parties in terms of costs, standardized pricing, and then of course the quality of the inspection is everything, because you're about to sign on the dotted line for something that, there really is there anything like buyer's remorse or a waiting period for property? I don't think so. Escrow closes, you own it, right?
Yeah, and in fact, the home inspection is part of a buyer's due diligence. So there's a contingency period that might be maximum 17 days. Quite often it's 10.
Right.
And in some transactions, if the property's hot, you got 5 days to check it out. And
right.
So our profession goes from week to week, and that's a kind of a timeline that we're kind of put into when it's a pre-purchase.
Right. Okay.
Well, I got a question.
Yeah.
Craig, now, when you become a building inspector, to inspect a building, you have to understand everything from basic framing to plumbing, electricity issues. Do most inspectors come from one of those backgrounds, or can you become an inspector without necessarily having that background?
It's a great question, because we do have to have a rather broad knowledge base. But as a home inspector, as a general home inspector, we are even described as being generalists. So I don't have to necessarily be a master electrician or a roofing contractor with 20 plus years of experience. That's all good. And there's even merits to being a general contractor. But it's really, first of all, getting some good education right up front before you get into the business. That would be a part of laying the foundation of your body of knowledge. And it is quite often, and I'll just tell you, it's often a 1 to 2 week crash course on what are the top defects to be looking for, coupled with knowledge that you would have already previously, perhaps in the trades. I was an inspector doing inspections in the workplace for OSHA compliance 20 plus years ago. So already had kind of an inspector's mindset and was very handy. But you have to obviously have a method and means of getting through the property, doing the inspection, recognizing defects, and being able to document them in a report. But it's all about continuing education. To be a member of CREA or ASHI, you have to maintain a minimum of 30 credits per year. So that's usually one or two conferences, some monthly meetings like we have locally, to be up. And you're constantly reading the code books as those change. You're reading trade magazines so you've got a substantial body of knowledge to be able to recognize defects. And mm-hmm. But that's where the association and being plugged in and the continuing ed is so critical.
Right.
Yes, the building codes books.
The code.
I remember those from architecture school.
Sure. And we're fond of saying it's not a code inspection per se, because we don't come in with the authority like a city inspector to make, people do this or do that. but you've got to have that body of knowledge, and it generally comes, you know, from our study of the codes and so much more.
Right. And of course, different cities, as anyone who's even thought about doing a renovation knows, different cities have very specific code requirements for height.
Yes.
And of course, in the beach cities, every beach city has, you know, different aesthetic requirements for renovations and so forth. So it's quite complicated. Now, Craig, let's step through this. We're going to obviously focus on a single family home because that's what most people are going to be involved with or aware of. You know, if it's okay. Multifamily, they're going to get a lot of advice and counsel from their real estate agent. In any commercial environment, they're going to have a lot of help. But on their own, they might be involved in inspecting their own home or a home they're going to buy. Tell me, what are the criteria? I mean, obviously, framing, foundation, electrical, plumbing, but what are the official things that you're looking for with broad strokes?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, the standard of practice of CREA and ASHI that I mentioned previously was recognized by the state lists all the specific systems and areas. So we'd be talking about things like the roof and the attic framing, the structure overall, sub area if there is, the foundation, the structure. Within that would be the major systems, the electrical system from the main panel to lights and switches and different components in the house, plumbing to include, you know, piping and drainage and things like that. Also the water heater, the HVAC, heating and air conditioning systems if present. All those major systems. Now, it's important to understand that there are exclusions as well, like low voltage systems. We wouldn't necessarily be looking at alarm and telephone and internet cabling and those kinds of things, or environmental issues like mold and asbestos and those kinds of things are technically outside the scope of a home inspection. But I have to tell you, there's some overlap there. Obviously, an experienced inspector is going to recognize old asbestos insulation on ductwork, for example, that we would normally call out. But yeah, there's definitely, you know, a full standard of practice that lists all the different systems and areas that's available on CREA.org. And but it boils down to the major systems of the home. But also, I should add, yeah, most of our work would be single family residents, but obviously, as you know, would include condominiums and townhouses and these kinds of residences as well.
Is there a different set of criteria if it's like a duplex or triplex or fourplex to a single family home? Because
it really isn't that different because the systems, roofing, plumbing, electrical, are all generally the same. And I'll even say this, Joe, that apartment buildings, 100 units, which I've done, you know, overseen inspections of, are very similar to what we find. Again, electrical, plumbing, there's just more of it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's interesting. In California, they do lump 1 to 4 units all in the same standard of practice. Commercial inspections are when you hit the unit number 5 and up, like an apartment building, or a true commercial, you know, for business center, industrial, that kind of stuff, which has a separate standard of practice. But again, it boils down to structure, roof, electrical, plumbing, those major systems that we know.
Right.
But let me ask you about the dreaded mold issue. So that's not necessarily on your hit list, but if you're inspecting a home for somebody, you are going to tell them about that, right?
If I see it, you know, and that's, you know, what causes mold? Usually moisture. That moisture can come from a plumbing leak, from a roof leak, or from a house that's into a hillside, you know, moisture penetration. Those things we are tasked with inspecting and noting the condition. So if I see it, yes, I feel I have a duty to take a picture of it for the photo. You know, we talk about it. We would recommend an environmental inspection or, you know, because again, we're generalists. We're not there to also prescribe what has to be done or even do the work, obviously. We're there to note what we see, document it, and then, you know, steer our client in the right direction. So in contrast, or maybe even along with a standard of care, a standard of practice, which lists all the different things, is really that standard of care or the duty of care. Okay, you've got your standards written here on one side, but what is the typical inspector looking for in commenting on and discussing as part of that inspection that may be above the standard of practice? but is still within our scope of care. You know, you just can't throw that stuff to the side because, you know, you don't have to do it. I think we owe a duty if it's prominent, visible, certainly, because an inspection is a limited visual. We're not opening up walls or, you know, dismantling major components. You know, it's a kind of a high-line view because we have to get through the property and look at all these major systems. But to be trained to find that tip of the iceberg, if there's an issue, you know, that's where we, you know, would then defer it to the appropriate professional, whether it's an electrician or an environmental specialist, you know, whatever the appropriate professional would be.
Now, when a homeowner has an inspection, whether they're selling or buying, how long would you expect the inspection to last, or how much would you expect it to cost? Give us some parameters for the industry so that people can compare that to what this guy who got his business cards yesterday is trying to charge.
Sure. That's a great question. And I will tell you that if we just take the average 1,500 square foot home, that inspection, the physical part, will take approximately 2 to 3 hours would be what I would say would be a reasonable estimate of. Now, other factors of, you know, is there a full crawl space to crawl underneath the house? That takes some time. Or are we talking a newer home with slab foundation? So that there's some variables there. And then obviously our talk time or discussion at the end to go over our findings. So probably, again, about 2 to 3 hours. Now, if depending on the condition of the home, if it's in super clean condition and there's not a lot to report on, you know, it could certainly be less. And some homes, every inspector will tell you, wow, I had a, you know, a 4-hour inspection or a 5-hour. And of course, big houses, that could take you all day. You know, so those are kind of, but I would say 2 to 3 hours. And in terms of pricing, that you'll find a fair variety there depending on what the individual inspector values their time. But I'll tell you that 1,500 square foot house amongst the bigger picture is probably going to average about $500. You can certainly find it for less, and I'm sure there's some that charge more, but probably that $500 range is a good average.
Okay, that gives us an idea, because this is something that, A, is required, going to be required by the other party anyway, right? So you don't really have a choice. This is not something you can...
Well, if you're selling... Well, wait a minute. Well, there's a city inspector that does certain things, but, I mean, if you're buying a house, I imagine if you're getting a loan, the bank would require... Right.
You know, it's not a requirement at all. And there are instances where, you know, if a buyer is a developer and is going to raise the property anyway, they won't bother with an inspection. They're going to tear the building down and build something new. So and even in the context of, you know, one who's going to move into the property, there isn't a strict requirement. It has just become protocol, you know, and just the smart thing to do. There's just no one who's going to buy a house, you know, or a property without knowing the condition of these major systems. So it's usually a part of every contract, you know, that the buyer requests, you know, that contingency period to do their due diligence. And so it's become the norm.
Right.
Except those people in that movie, The Money Pit, they obviously didn't.
Right.
It's funny how it's evolved over the years. You know, you'd mentioned Korea. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary, and so is ASHI, coincidentally.
Yeah.
Started in 1976, where these inspectors at that time said, hey, we need to organize and kind of, you know, build the industry and see what we can do to improve things. But prior to that, well, actually, up until about 1980, though, there were still only about 5% of homes that were sold in California being inspected. And of course, nowadays, probably for the last 10, 20 years, I'll say it's probably 95% now, you know, of homes that get inspected. So,
Craig, have you ever come across somebody that wouldn't let you inspect their house?
No, I've had some situations like, you know, we all run into different people at different times and situations where,
right,
you know, maybe a seller was not too excited about me being there on behalf of their buyer, or maybe took some offense to, you know, some of the things that I noted on the inspection,
right?
You know,
yeah.
So we learn to operate. I mean, at least I do. I'll operate under any audience that benefits my client first and foremost. You know, I mean, if and oftentimes, hey, this is how you learn how to go over things, you know, in all circumstances. When you've got, you know, some antsy sellers or agents that know that, you know, okay, we're going to have to do a little more work, but So I can't, yeah. But I don't know that anybody's, I have never been kicked off a property like some inspectors have shared in our little roundtable meetings. But I felt the heat in the room. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So you quickly learn how to become a diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, you have to. And yet, you know, hey, I've got a job to do, and I've got to, you know, convey accurate information to my client. And I can use good bedside manner, but, you know, if you need a new roof, you need a new roof. Or if something wasn't done right and it's quite obvious, you know, I got to call it out for what it is. And sometimes we come across sellers, and it's quite evident there's a pride of ownership there. The house looks immaculate, super clean, it's been remodeled, you know, that's the classic scenario. And yet, you know, I peel back a layer, I look at this, and I, you know, there's no perfect house out there. And, you know, so you just have to, you know, balance it, I think. But, you know, you've got to do what you got to do.
This is fascinating. Really is. And I think that people probably have questions. So I'm going to invite people that want to call in and ask questions. You're welcome to do so. Craig would, I think, love to answer some of your questions. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And we're almost at the break, but I really...
Yeah, why don't we go away? Let's go ahead into the commercial. Since you're giving out the number, let's do the station break and commercial break.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking home inspections with an expert, Craig Funabashi, president and principal inspector at Property Professor. And we really would love to have you call in if you have any questions or comments. Again, that number is 714-242-5288. And, of course, we'd also like to thank a sponsor at this time.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
Okay, thank you. There you go. So, Craig, this is fascinating, but how? What's the handle for this? And I was thinking, well, we've talked a lot about how inspections go, approximately what you should expect in terms of cost and time. Are there some other criteria by which you would rate a good inspection versus a bad inspection?
Well, certainly if you were to compare – well, and I'm fond of saying get two inspectors to inspect the same property, and you may find a couple of, you know, subtle differences because each inspector has their own little hot buttons and things like this. But there should not be any major conditions missed, you know, that one would find but the other didn't. I mean, following the same means and methods, and we do try to, you know, educate inspectors and have some consistency where they know what they have to do, and there's training, you know, certainly. But that's the only way I know to really analyze, you know, the physical inspection as to who did what at, it would be after the fact. But there are things you can do up front to qualify your inspector. Again, you know, certainly you rely on professionals that you trust and are working with, friends and family. Many are doing more and more of their online internet. So, and you can always call an inspector, you know, and ask them some pointed questions, maybe have them send you a sample of their report so that you know, okay, is it just a simple checklist or is it really more of a narrative report that gives a little more information? Do they include photos? How do they deliver the report? You know, is it sent by email or do they create PDF files or, you know, the delivery method? So there's those different parts of how different inspectors run their business. But remember, I mentioned up front, there's no licensing requirement. So you ask, you know, you can simply, you know, ask them, well, do you belong to, you know, a reputable trade association like CREA or ASHI? There's not even a legal requirement that an inspector carry errors and omissions insurance and general liability insurance. So that's a pointed question that is certainly valid as well. I mean, we're all human. What if an inspector misses something? You know, do they have the capacity to take care of your issue? You know, or are they going to be, how long have they been in business? You know, are they even going to be around next year? You know,
yeah.
With the economy changing and all this different stuff. And, you know, you can't just, you know, transition from being, you know, a tradesperson, you know, and start doing inspections, you know, without a business plan as well. That's where a lot of guys with technical knowledge know what they're looking at, but they don't know how to properly convey it either in written form or, you know, with their client, or they don't have business sense enough to, you know, you got to be prepared for those first 2 years, right? You know, just general business knowledge is critical, I think, too. But yeah, again, things that the consumer can lean to and or realtors, you know, get good information directly from the inspector and or peruse their websites, hoping, you know, that obviously all the information on there is valid and appropriate and you know, truthful. Yeah, that's my take on that, you know, and upfront how to find a good inspector.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, just speaking of websites, property-professor.com, property-professor.com. Jackie?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, what about there are these websites now. I'm trying to think of the one off the top of my head, Angie's List. Do you find those, are those helpful to you?
I've been fortunate that I had really laid a pretty good foundation up front 20 years ago and have built on that over the years locally, you know, that I haven't jumped at every marketing opportunity that a business might have to get their name out there. Angie's List, I've never joined, but we've discussed it certainly as a group, and I think there's been some concerns about how much they vet the individual business on that website. I know that, you know, I think they've had some issues there. There's also plenty of companies that do marketing promotion and, you know, really try to drive business to different sites. And we as home inspectors are no different. We've been approached with all those different means and methods to drive business as well. I'll be honest and upfront. I think my website is probably more of a glorified business card. I just want to have, you know, the information that I think people would want to see and need. But I'm personally not using it as a, you know, full tool to drive business to the website. I choose to treat it a little more one-on-one, face-to-face, you know, a much smaller scale here in our South Bay, you know, along the coast from, say, Long Beach up to Malibu. And obviously, as an inspector, we go all over LA. But, you know, just to kind of do it the old-fashioned way, word of mouth, because to me, this is a service industry. Although our written report is the product, if you will, but it's about building relationships and, you know, obviously the personal touch, you know, which is kind of just, I'm kind of old school in that regard and have been successful enough doing it that way. But the thing is, you know, again, you know, just having the information available and making myself available too, you know, whether it's answering questions as a follow-up to the inspection, clarifying things. You know, just to making that the most important part of my business.
Right.
Yeah, these days, I mean, for almost anything, from a hairstylist to a plumber to a dog walker, the first thing people do is they go on Yelp to see if there's any reviews, which, you know, again, double-edged sword, you know?
Right, right. You know, and I think I've been fortunate to have a handful of good reviews on Yelp, but only a few, you know, not hundreds and hundreds. So it's just kind of interesting how, you know, one kind of observes how a business or gets a perception of how it is from those online, you know, information that you find out there. But again, I think our real estate community is quite tight here in the South Bay. I mean, it's pretty hard to be successful in business if you're not, you know, a pretty good inspector as a minimum. If you're a bad inspector, word will get around pretty quick. And, you know, we've seen people come and go, obviously, in our little neck of the woods here. But, you know, from just your interaction with people, we're a pretty tight community down here in the South Bay. And that's why I love living and working here, because it's great.
It is that. Now, I have to ask you something. My husband and I have gone through several homes, all right? We've had several homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether you build your home or you buy a home, how often would you recommend to have it inspected? You're living in your house, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
How often would you recommend a home be thoroughly looked at?
You're not going anyplace. You're not looking to sell or anything.
Yeah.
Just to answer that, and obviously there's no standard, or, you know, I would say every 10 years would be a prudent timeline to have a termite inspection, especially if you see little droppings or evidence. Well, whoa, okay, I think I got termites. So do that about every 10 years, and look at a home inspection is kind of like going to the doctor for a checkup. Now, you know, we should be going every year, right, Joe?
Right.
To see our doctor. Some of us are a little better at that than others.
Craig,
do they
have to use the plastic glove? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you know, I will tell you that being a home inspector is a bit of a dirty job, because I am crawling underneath the house. And, I mean, you should see me. I got the gloves. I got the full suit with the hoodie and the booties, mm-hmm. and the whole, you know. And
thank
the respirator and all that good stuff.
Thank goodness for Tyvek, right?
Yeah.
It keeps me clean and fresh for my afternoon inspection, you know.
Yeah, you know, the reason I ask is because over the years we've had major, major issues that we were completely unaware of that were found by accident.
Mm.
Literally. Just
accidentally,
you know. We had a home up in Mammoth. We sold it a couple of years ago. And it had, you know, it had the wood siding, the cedar siding,
mm-hmm.
the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the cedar boards were warping a little bit. So we had a handyman that we always used, and asked him to come by and repair them, you know, put, you know, nail them back in or whatever. And he started nailing, and the nails were just going straight through. It wasn't grabbing onto anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he went under the house and he looked, and we had severe water damage that literally disintegrated all of the framing coming off of the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was bad. It was bad. It was really bad. Our homeowner's insurance did not cover it.
Whoa.
It was really bad. We ended up spending, I think it was about $150,000 out of pocket.
What? It
basically had to rebuild the entire framing structure underneath the house. And yeah, that was about 11 years into owning that home.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we couldn't sell it like that.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that's why I was curious. I mean, you know, things happen.
Yeah, you know what?
Not even aware of.
You know, I tell you, and I've obviously had a fairly successful pre-purchase business, but that's always been a niche that I knew, you know, if the market went down, that I would explore and really promote a lot more. And that is the owner's inspection, the maintenance inspection. I would come up with a marketing term or whatever.
Right.
And because it is prudent, what homeowner crawls underneath their house or goes up in the attic or goes up on the roof? With any frequency. I mean, I will tell you, most people wait until they got water coming through the ceiling. Then they call a roofer, and it's probably raining outside. And that roofer, you know, you won't get to you for a couple of days at best. And who really wants to? I joke, you know, I crawl underneath your house, you know, because you're paying me to do it. And it's, you know, it's not a bad living. But, hey, you know, I realize it's not for everybody. And, you know, you can't be in this business, I will say, if you're, one, claustrophobic, two, arachnophobic, because, you know, spiders and the whole, you know, you just, you know, you do it. You got to get into these areas. But most homeowners, we wouldn't expect, you know, that, you know. But you got to know, right? It's a way of protecting your the single most expensive item that any of us will own, purchase and own, is typically the home we live in. So, you know, we need to, you know, do what you feel is prudent to really maintain that and get the information. You know, again, $500 or depending on the size of your home, whatever it would cost, is probably less than going to get the physical at the doctor, you know. I mean, that's obviously more important, but the second best, you know, most important, your home, get a checkup about every 10 years. Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good advice.
That is fantastic. And, yeah, I think, you know, you should really start exploring that, because that is the exact kind of a thing that could be done via, you know, email marketing, social media, to remind people that they need a regular owner's inspection.
Sure. I would even go back in my database. I mean, I've got a database of 20 years worth of clients.
Right.
I probably would start with my warm market, Blue Nomi.
Right.
You know, and it, granted, most, I think the national average last time I checked was, you know, people live in a home, the average 7 years.
Oh, right.
You know, and that's, you know, obviously with a certain amount of upward mobility, that's often the case. But there's plenty of people, I mean, that have been, you know, 10, 12, 15 longer, you right. know, and,
We've been in our house here 27 years.
Ooh. Oh wow! So there you go.
Yeah, and I have more horror stories. I have more horror stories. If you're, but you're right. Yeah, about every, I think every 10 years. That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Well, you know, and part of our role is to give you the information without any emotion. You know, it's emotional enough when you own the house or you're looking to buy it and you hear about, oh, my gosh, it's not perfect. It's got this issue, that issue. We want to help put it in proper perspective. And, you know, if you need a new electrical panel, well, talk to an electrician and get an estimate. But again, to be very practical, you know, in presenting the information, because it's already stressful enough, right?
My husband and I have a saying, you know, like when friends of ours buy a new home, like we have some friends that very recently just bought their first home.
Yeah.
And they had a little housewarming party. So we went over and I handed them a gift. I said, welcome to 30 years a slave. Yeah. Because it never ends, you know, with a home, it never ends.
Yeah. Either there's something you should do, or there's something you want to do.
Yes, yes. It just never, home ownership, it never ends. It's not, you know, it's funny, you know, I was an apartment dweller my whole life.
Yeah.
And you know, something goes wrong, you call the super and you say, hey, my faucet isn't working, or hey, my electrical, and they come and fix it for you. Not that way when you own a home. You got to, I mean, handle it yourself or hire professionals to come in and fix it. But it never ends. 30 years a slave.
Well, you know, and it makes a case for buying new construction, and there's always been, you know, the bit of a fallacy. Well, the home is brand new. It was inspected by the city. It's been signed off and everything. Why do I need a home inspection? You know, and I will tell you that with quality, generally quality builders in our area, we'll find a few things, and it'll be kind of a punch list of, you know, and even though we're not doing cosmetic or aesthetics and those kinds of things, we, you know, we're looking at the major systems. Every now and then you find a major defect or flaw in brand new construction, and well, how do you explain it? You know, well, you know, maybe it flew under the radar during the municipal inspection process, or maybe it wasn't, you know, municipal code inspectors have a, you know, very limited amount of time on site. They don't get 2 to 3 hours or more to go through a property methodically like we do. It's a different service. And so to really, if I may, bust the fallacy that, oh, if it was inspected by the city, there can't be anything wrong with it. They just, you know, that isn't true because of what I just said. You know, they just don't have the time to spend to go through it methodically like we do. It's a different service. And usually there's enough found on new construction to then work with, you know, we don't come in with the city saying the builder or seller has to do this or has to do that. But, you know, we have a higher expectation in new construction, so it's usually worth the inspection fee. And if we don't find much or anything, the peace of mind you get from it. You know,
that's a big pet peeve of mine. New, whether it's new appliances, new construction, new. Honestly, Craig, people don't make things the way they used to. Right?
Right.
I mean, in general, I mean, things are not as well made as they used to be. I mean, I have an appliance guy that the first time we had him out to repair our refrigerator, he said, hold on to it as long as you can. He said, there's steel in this. It's well made. He said, the stuff they're making today is going to cost you more money. It's made of plastic and they break down like crazy. So, I mean, like in building, like copper pipes. You know, they don't do copper pipes anymore, do they? I mean, not generally. But they're using a lot more PVC and stuff, and it breaks down over time. So I'm not a huge fan of new. You know, I've always preferred things that are built to last. I mean, even concrete, Craig, even concrete.
Mm-hmm.
When we bought the house we're in, it was built in the 50s. And mm-hmm. and the side yards was still whole and everything, still look good,
mm-hmm.
but we had to reconfigure stuff. So we had to break it out and pour new concrete. The new concrete cracked in less than 6 months.
Mm.
Same with our driveway. When we had our driveway redone,
right.
Cracks. I mean, they just don't make – they're not making concrete the way they used to.
They're using inferior formulation.
Yeah, but, you know, I tell you, and that's where, you know, just like comparing qualities. Now, obviously, not naming any names, being just speaking very generally now. The technology with concrete, for example, and using expansion joints to minimize the cracking. When you come into a new construction, you can come into a garage and you'll often see it's been scored into four smaller squares in an effort to minimize some of that cracking. And you're always, I got to tell you, Jackie, you'll always have a certain amount of, you know, without quantifying the size, what we would deem kind of like hairline cracking as the material shrinks. But I can tell you those kinds of cracks in flatscape, whether it's a patio or a driveway or in stucco, many times is a result of it not curing long enough. And when you're on a construction timeline, time is money, right? So they won't, they want to get that concrete done as fast as possible, get that stucco done as fast as possible. But if you've ever worked with clay, like building a clay pot or something with the potter's wheel, you know, you're always throwing water on it. Keep it cured. You know, you want to prolong that curing process. And it's the same thing with the with concrete. Mm. Copper plumbing for supply still is the standard today. Although you're right, they're using more PEX as a brand or polybutylene type plastic piping, which has really grown much better, you know, over the years. But copper is still the standard, but there's different grades of quality copper, different quality grades. And so when you hear about a 15-year-old home in North Redondo that's getting a bunch of pinhole leaks, it's because there was a period of time when there was defective product out there in the market, black ABS plastic piping. There was a period of time when there was a industry-wide defect across the country. See, those are the kinds of things you learn about when you belong to Cree or ASHI. You're not just going to, you know, you might come across an article on it, but you've got to be plugged in so that you know these little defects and, you know, things that are going on in the industry behind the scenes. You know, we have to know these kinds of things to provide the better service. So.
Now, we have a caller. I'm going to try to bring them into the conversation. Caller, last four digits, 2994. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Bobby Christian from the Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Bureau.
Hey, Bobby, you're calling me from a different number than normal. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited to hear all this stuff about how to check out my home, make sure it's even better than I thought it was.
Yes, yes. Thank you for calling in, Bobby. This is our contact at the Chamber who's going to tell us all the great things that are happening right here in Redondo. And Bobby Christian, take it away.
There is so much going on this weekend and into next week. Let's start with the business side of things. We've got a ribbon cutting and grand opening for the Redondo Car Wash. That's going to take place Saturday at 10 a.m. from 10 to 3. So check that out. That's on Torrance Boulevard. You can find information about that on the Chamber.
Bobby,
Go ahead.
How long has that car wash been closed?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a while.
Oh my god!
But they've revamped it. It's beautiful now. It's so beautiful now.
This is huge. This is huge. I used to have a retail store on Torrance Boulevard, basically across the street from that car wash. I think it closed in like 2004 or five or six, and it's pretty much been closed since then.
Well, now it's come. It's opening up. It's open now, but the grand opening is this weekend, of course. But it's the first state-of-the-art, eco-friendly green car wash in the area, so it's completely different than it was before. We're really excited about that.
Fantastic.
And then on the tourism side of things, I'm just going to be honest. You're going to have to check the website this week. Visit Redondo.com. Click events. There's so much to do. I'll just hit some highlights. This weekend is the International Surf Festival. It starts on Thursday, and it goes all the way through Sunday. We have the Ruby's Classic Car Show. We have the Summer Movie Series. Starts this Friday, Ruby's Summer Movie Series. It goes all through August, every Friday. Hello Dolly is going to be in town at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. We've got two farmers markets coming up this week. There's just so much going on. You really have to check out our events page to see what's going on there. Two things I do want to touch on that sometimes get overlooked, though, is that this Monday we have free Zumba in the park, and if you haven't taken advantage of that this year, you've really got to get out and do it. It's a great community event, so much fun, and if you've never done Zumba, I guarantee it'll change the way you work out. And also, we have the Lobster Festival coming up at the end of September, of course, September 23rd through 25th, and the tickets are on sale now at lobsterfestival.com.
Wow.
And I should mention, Zumba in the Park just moved to Redondo Union. They were at a prior location for July, but in August, the Zumba group moved to Redondo Union High School. So every Monday night, free.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cannot beat that. Fantastic. Well, Well, thank you so much, Bobby. I don't know, Bobby, have you ever thought about buying a home or thinking about buying a condo?
Of course. I've thought about it basically every day of my life. I'm super excited to buy one eventually, and I know that home inspections is so important. It's really interesting to hear all the details that you guys have been talking about. As I look, I mean, I've been looking in the area and looking what the market's like right now. So, really important stuff.
Yeah, it is really. I think everyone would. I think generally speaking, everyone would like to own a home. It's quite a commitment, and obviously financially it's quite a commitment, but there are great programs for first time home buyers, to get into homes these days. And of course you can always look at condos and townhomes and instead of single family homes, to reduce the price, especially condos, I guess. Well, it's just exciting, and we're covering the bases with the property professor, so we're getting everything that is gotten or you can get.
I gotta write that one down.
Thanks.
Oh, we've just scratched the surface.
We did. We just scratched the surface. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Bobby Christian. One last note, though. Tell us what's going on with RedondoBeachWeddings.org. It's RedondoBeachWeddings.com, is it?
It is RedondoBeachWeddings.org. You were correct the first time. We are in the process of building a brand new package that is called the Love Yourself Package. We've been working on it for a while, so I can't go into too many details about it, but it's about validating the love of yourself. We're really excited about this. Good Morning America's shown interest in talking about it on their show. I'll have more details when it's fleshed out completely, but it's a different way to look at a wedding destination. Of course, we're still going after the traditional ways The historic Redondo Beach Library is gorgeous. We have amazing on-the-beach wedding possibilities in our city. But this is a different avenue than anyone else is trying right now. And so we're really
excited. You can tell them Jackie and I would be just fine with the plane fare and everything to New York. We would be okay with
don't plug me into this.
Good morning,
I'm busy enough. You guys go. I can't.
GMA. GMA. Okay.
You know, Bobby, I got to tell you something really funny. Some random person contacted me through my email, through my website, and just said, we're thinking about getting married at the beach. Is there any place, anybody that you think I should talk to? And I just emailed him the RedondoBeachWeddings.org URL.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Mm.
It's such a brilliant idea, Bobby. And again, I have to say, we've talked to other chambers, and I think you may see this, that other chambers are looking at replicating what Redondo Beach has done in other key areas where they have groups of members that are professionals centered around some aspect of commerce, and they're going to try to create portals, destinations that can attract more traffic for this particular kind of business and set of professionals. So I think you've started a trend.
Well, you know what? That's great to hear, but we're ahead of the curve. So they might want to replicate us, but they'll only be able to imitate us. We are going to be ahead of the ball going for the next few years. So we're really excited
about
that.
All right. I like that. That's confidence. Thank you so much for joining us, Bobby Christian, from the Redondo Beach Chamber of Visitors Bureau. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Craig, that's the Redondo Beach Chamber. They're so proactive, and they're so focused on generating business for their members. When you think of these other organizations like CREA in the home inspection area, do they generate business for you?
You know, it's interesting that I've been able to network quite a bit, you know, and I'll just throw this in as if I don't have enough to do. I actually am on the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce in Redondo Beach.
Okay.
And went through the Leadership Redondo program in 2008 and actually was the coordinator of the program for 5 years from 2010 to just last year, 2015, and just, you know, sit on the steering committee for the Leadership Redondo program now. But I have made some tremendous friendships just in the 10 or 15, well, no, I guess it's probably been about 10 years that I've been a member of the chamber. And it's really interesting that if you talk to home inspectors in the area and realtors in the area, we probably are not, again, because it's a person-to-person kind of referral, it's just unique, I think, to our service that we provide that, the emphasis on and driving business has just been a little elsewhere, but certainly the friendships and the social interaction and just talking about current trends and stuff at the various mixers, I think would make anyone who participates a better person, better in their business, you know, a little more confident in what they do, and creates that network. When you do need something, you can pick up the phone and call a fellow chamber member and usually get the answer that you need. And so, I recommend the Chamber of Commerce for any business in the area, and put in as much as you can, and you'll get out what you put in. You know, that's my take there.
Well, the time has flown. Craig, give us your contact information so people can get in touch with you.
Sure. Well, my website you mentioned is property-professor.com. And so I've got that information available online. My office number for scheduling inspections and booking is 310-371-9494. Again, 310-371-9494. And I'll just put it out there. If you have a question about the inspection process, my services, or just, you know, if I can help in any way, call me direct on my cell phone, 310-387-9494. 0928.
Fantastic. Craig Funabashi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was really a pleasure.
And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Get that home inspected if you haven't done so within the last 10 years. Get it inspected with property-professor.com. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.